Hey friends, welcome to the Axiom Church podcast. We're so glad you decided to join us and check out our episode. This is a space where we post our Sunday sermons, and occasionally we have discussions and conversations regarding life in this community and following Jesus. So thank you for listening, and please engage us on our website, axiomchurchaz.com, or on any of our social medias. We'd love to hear from you. Take care.
So I get the pleasure of reading some scripture today. We are in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in her house, for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to them, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take the staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it."
How are we doing? There we go. You know, in my head, that passage only took a couple of minutes, so I might have to do a little editing for next service. I don't know. Anyways, hi, my name is Eric. I'm on the elder team here, and I wake up every Sunday morning excited to come see you guys, and so I am glad to be here with you this morning, glad to be in this role as well. We are in the middle of a series called Streams in the Wasteland, and usually, like the passage that Gavin read this morning, there is this idea that we're in the wasteland and like God is the refreshing water that comes to us, and that is true, but most often, God comes to us through other people, and so in that sense, we are also the channels through which the stream of God flows into the wasteland around us, and we're kind of looking at streams in the wasteland from that perspective. So the first Sunday, we talked a little bit about God is sending us out of the temple and into the world. And then last Sunday, we talked about how this isn't always going to be easy or comfortable. This week, we're talking about what causes us not to respond to the call of God to go out. And we're going to do that by looking at the story of Moses. One thing here, Jesus uses a bunch of different ways of communicating the gospel to us. And one of the ways that he uses a lot is story. So you think of things like the prodigal son or the good Samaritan, stories like that. And so I thought it might be interesting this morning to use that form of preaching, the form of storytelling. So we just heard the whole long passage. I'd encourage you to go back and read that for yourself if you'd like. But as we retell the story, I'm going to be adding a little bit of imaginative detail so that we can connect with the story and realize that it is not just about something that happened to somebody else a long ways away, a long time ago, but there's something in this scripture that happens for us now here. Okay? So, you ready to go? All right, cool. The view from the ledge was beautiful. Across the way was the great mountain. Down below was the stream flowing through the desert. All around the stream was life, was trees and plants and grass. The grass is why Mo had come here. He released the sheep to graze, and then he climbed up on the ledge. Every time he came here, he climbed up on this ledge, stood at the edge, looked down at the rocks below, and he always thought the same thing. Maybe today's the day. Maybe this is the day the pain and the humiliation ends. Maybe today is the day I jump. But not today, not this day. Because something caught his eye up on the mountain. There was this bush on fire. Well, that's perfect. It's like the universe is sending him a message. This is your life. This bush is your life burning to the ground. And the universe wasn't wrong. Not that long ago, he'd been a prince of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth, the finest food, the finest women, the finest music and art and culture, anything he wanted. And look at him now, a freaking goat herder. You know, not that long ago, he and the boys at the palace used to make fun of shepherds, and now, well, let's just say the universe has a twisted sense of humor. It was his temper that had gotten him into trouble. His mom always said, "You lose your temper way too easy," and well, that just made him mad. I mean, she didn't understand. She was the daughter of Pharaoh, and he was her son, and that made him a prince, but it was an open secret that he was adopted. His brothers let him know what they thought. You're not a real Egyptian. You know, his name was Moses, but they used to call him Poses. Poses the poser. He got into a lot of fights over that. They started spreading rumors that he was really an Egyptian slave, that he should be building the palace, not living in it. Thing is, they were right. And the worst part was not that that's how they saw him, that's how he saw himself. On the outside, he was a prince. But on the inside, he was a little slave boy who didn't belong. You know, that made him sensitive, though, to the plight of the Hebrews. When he saw them, he couldn't help but think, this is where I belong. These are my people. Of course, that's not how they saw him. When they looked at him, they just saw this elite Egyptian who was virtue signaling by feigning solidarity with the poor. Even they rejected him. And so one day when he saw this taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave, he proved his solidarity with them by killing that Egyptian. But he got found out, he had to flee, and he lost everything he knew. So now here is this prince just taking on menial jobs just to survive, if you can call this surviving. His descent into oblivion was interrupted again by the bush on fire. Something odd about it. Unlike his life, the bush actually was not burning to the ground. He decided, I need to check this out. And so he got down, went up, started coming up the mountain, up the other side. And when he got near the bush, a voice came out that said, Moses, Moses, stop. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Mo felt the strength drain from his body, and he fell to the ground, and he pulled his hood, his cloak over his head as he kicked his sandals off. You have to understand, Mo is not a religious man. I mean, sure, he knows the stories about all the gods, you know, Ra and Osiris and Anubis and all of them. He even knows a little bit about the Hebrew God, although they have this thing about the name of God, so he doesn't actually know God's name. And now here he is before this nameless Hebrew God, and it's terrifying. The voice continues, I have seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries for justice, and I have come to set them free. I have come to take them out of the land of Egypt and give them a land of their own. And I'm sending you to go before Pharaoh and lead them out of Egypt to this holy place so they can worship and we can be together. No, no. No, this is a terrible idea. In the best case scenario, Mo's going to go back and nobody will know who he is. He'll just be some yokel from the Badlands coming up to the most powerful man on earth to say, hey there, if you don't mind, I'm going to take all your workforce and we're just going to get on out of here. We cool? And Pharaoh's going to roll his eyes and look over at the captain of the guard and just lift a finger. And 5 seconds later, Mo's going to be laying there on the ground with a spear sticking out of his head. And that's the best case scenario. In the worst case, they'll actually recognize who he is. He could hear it now. Hey, look, everybody, it's Moses. I told you he was a loser. Dude, what happened to you? What are those clothes? Man. And then he'd ask Pharaoh to let the people go. And he'd still end up with a spear sticking out of his head. Only this time everybody would be laughing. And even more than the spear, he feared them seeing him like this, seeing what had become of him, the loser, the guy who had everything. And he threw it all away, trying to impress a bunch of nobodies, just because he wanted to belong. It was terrifying. And so he says to God, I can't do it. You can't send me. I'm a nobody. I don't belong. And the voice comes out of the bush, you belong to me. I will be with you. When you hear Pharaoh say, go, and you come back to this place the next time, the flock that's going to be following you will be the entire nation of Israel. Then you'll know that I am God. Oh, yeah, like that's going to happen. The king of the world is just going to roll over and release his entire workforce to some crazy guy who talks to bushes. Isn't that how we are? Don't we always get so caught up in what the world thinks about us and so caught up in what we want from the world that we stop listening, that we can't hear what God is saying to us anymore? The king of this world tells us that we're nothing. The king of this world tells us that we'll only be happy with the stuff he has. And we're so afraid that he's right. That when the real king, the king of the universe, says, "You're my child. I love you. I'll always be with you," we can't hear it. Mo can't hear that he's not alone. All he can think about is his life spiraling down the toilet. He can't imagine that what God is promising is true. God promises us to always be with us, to care for us, that everything will be okay if we just believe. But we become afraid, and so we don't believe. Mo is not believing. In fact, he's thinking not just about Pharaoh, but about the Hebrews. What are they going to say when he walks up and says, "Hey, this God whose name I don't know sent me to you"? So he says, "If they ask me who sent you, what is your name?" And God says, "I am who I am. I am the one who is. I am the one who always has been and always will be. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and I'm your God. And I will be with you. And the elders will listen to you. In fact, when you return here with my people, then you will see that I'm God. And when you tell Pharaoh to let the people go, he's going to say no. Not even if God's hand forces me, but when my hand is laid on him and he feels the force of it, he will let you go. He'll be glad to be rid of you." You know, Pharaoh, he's one of the great villains of the Bible. He thinks of himself as invincible, like godlike. And he's so attached to his vision of himself and the world that he won't hear God. That's exactly the same problem Mo has. It's the same problem I have. So he can't, God just said to him, "They will believe." And the first thing out of his mouth is, "What if they don't believe?" And so God gives him a gift, a superpower. The ability to throw a rod on the ground and it turns into a snake. And then he picks it back up and it turns back into a rod. So that when the people see the power of God, they'll believe. Thing is, Moses isn't special in this regard. We all have gifts that demonstrate the power of God. To some, God gives healing, the gift of healing. To some, God gives the gift of wisdom. To some, the gift of storytelling. To all of us, God offers the superhuman ability to forgive. God offers us, if we want, the superhuman ability to love the unlovable. God gives us resources to share with those around us. God gives us the ability to make peace when all around us is division. And above all is love. Jesus is going to come along later and say, "Axiom. People will know that you are following me by the love you have for each other." All of these gifts are demonstrating the power of God to the world around us, the power to bring change, the power to heal, the power to bring hope. But if you know how the story goes, then you know that just like people today, Pharaoh won't believe those demonstrations of God's power. And why not? Mo is having problems believing it. In this moment, it's not Pharaoh who needs convincing, it's Moses. Moses is the one who's doubting. Before God can deliver the people of Israel, Moses has to be delivered. God is telling him, I love you. I will sustain you. You belong. You're not alone. Your life has meaning and purpose. But Mo is still hiding under that cloak because he can't believe that God's grace is enough. And so he says, I'll never convince them. I'm a lousy public speaker. My tang gets all tangled. I'm not made for this. And God says, not made for this. I'm the one who made you. I gave you your tongue. You are just as I made you. And I have a place for you in my mission of redeeming the world. I'm telling you to go. I will be with you. I will guide you every step of the way. All of his excuses have been stripped away. The mask has been pulled off. There's nothing left. But the little slave boy who doesn't belong. And so he falls back on the only thing left to him, begging. He begs God, please, please, just send somebody else. And God says, enough. As you wish, I will send somebody else. But not instead of you, I'll send somebody else with you. And that's what happens. God sends Moses and his brother Aaron to free the Israelites. And so it goes. Everything that God said would happen, happens. And I'd like to tell you that the story has a happy ending, but I can't, because the story is not over yet. It's still being written. God is still calling out from the burning bush. God is still coming to offer us freedom, to free us from our slavery to popularity and sex and money and all the things that distract us. God still offers us freedom from dependence on what others think, freedom from worry, freedom from the belief that the next president is going to save you, or the belief that the next president is going to destroy you. God offers us freedom from bitterness and regret and despair. God is still calling out from the burning bush. Who is listening? Who is ready to give up their belief that they don't belong or that their life has no purpose? Who is willing to say to the king of this world, let my people go? And in so doing, find freedom themselves. Who is willing to be a stream in the wasteland? Pray with me. God, thank you for your abundant goodness to us. Thank you that you continually pursue us, even when we stubbornly resist. I pray in this week for myself and for my brothers and sisters here that you would help us to hear your voice, to lay aside the lies of the enemy, and to become a source of your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name.